You're listening to the Weekly Sermon Podcast from Ridgecrest Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri. To connect with us or learn more, visit us online at ridgecrestbaptist.org.
Good morning, church. Happy New Year. If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 John chapter 1. If you're new to Ridgecrest, my name is Wayne Barron. I'm the executive pastor here at Ridgecrest, and I get the privilege today of filling the pulpit. I always just believe that it's such an honor to be able to do. Pastor Jeremy is out of town with his family, and so he always wants me also to convey to you all how much he misses being here with you when he's away. He'll be back next Sunday, but for today, I get to preach the word to you, and we're going to be in 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word, if you would, this morning, and we're going to begin in verse 5 and read down through verse 7. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this day and just the opportunity to come together as your family, to exalt your name and to worship you. We thank you for your word, God, for the truth that we can stand on, we can build our house upon, we can build our lives upon, that we can trust in, that we can follow, that we can proclaim freely. And Lord, I just pray today that as we look into your word, that your Holy Spirit, God, would teach us, would move in our hearts, would work in our minds, to renew our minds, to renew our hearts, to conform us to the image of your Son. Thank you, God, for the transforming power of your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are present here with us today. May this not be just another Sunday. May this not be just a routine where we come in and we sing the songs, we hear the sermon, and then we move on. We want to encounter you today, Lord. I pray for the one in this room who may be unsure of their relationship with you. Maybe there's someone who's come in today, Lord, this morning. You know who they are. You've brought them here. And they need you. They need to begin a relationship with you. Lord, I pray today for your Holy Spirit to work mightily. And we'll give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So this is the first Sunday of 2026. Exciting, right? Tis the season for resolutions. I was watching the news this week. I don't recommend it except for in small doses, but I was watching the news this week, and they did a spot on resolutions. They were talking about resolutions. Of course, they had people on there that were debating, had different views about whether a New Year's resolution is a good thing or not a good thing, and they were comparing resolution to a goal and all of these things, and it was just interesting to hear what people had to say. Seemed like a lot of semantics to me, a lot of just saying the same things in different ways. They talked about how long do resolutions typically last based on the statistics and the research they had done. And I won't go through all those numbers, but I will tell you that they said 1% of New Year's resolutions last for 12 months. And so there's your encouragement for the day. 1%. But there was an interesting slide they brought up as a part of this show. That showed America's top New Year's resolutions for 2026, based on their statistics. These are the things that people were resolving to grow in, to be better, to change, whatever. And I'm going to read these to you. There's eight of them. Number one, exercise more. Number two, save more money. You can say amen at any point in here that you want to. Number three, eat healthier. Number four, spend more time with family and friends. Number 5, lose weight. Number 6, improve my job performance. Number 7, do more for the environment. And number 8, reduce my job stress. And as I looked down through that list, there was something that dawned on me that I don't think is going to, you know, be earth-shattering or anything else. But it was just a realization that I came to as I looked at that list, that the things that are listed, the top 8 resolutions that Americans are making today, are not new information. They're not new concepts. All of these things are things that we pretty much know that we need to do, right? It's in the doing of them that it becomes a challenge that needs resolve or needs a resolution. And so today, in my message to you that I titled Resolution, I just was thinking, you know, if I could boil down to the lowest common denominator, something in my life that I know is going to touch the other parts of my life to the greatest degree, what would be the thing that I need to be resolved in? And just like these things, it's not earth-shattering, and it's not something new. I'm not going to share anything that you don't know with you today. It's like John MacArthur says, the Bible doesn't say a lot, it just says the same things over and over and over again, because we need to hear them. But the one thing that I would say, this is my sermon in a sentence, this is my big idea this morning, the one thing that I would say to you regarding resolution today, and for myself, is that nothing will have a greater impact on your life in 2026 than the resolve to walk closely in fellowship with Jesus. And it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you're at spiritually. You may have come in here today just full of questions. You don't know the Lord. You don't have a personal relationship with the Lord that you know of. Listen, the greatest thing that could happen to you in 2026 is that you begin to walk closely with Jesus. And for those of you that have been walking with Jesus for decades, the greatest thing that could happen to you today is that you resolve to walk more closely with Jesus in 2026. This will change your life. This is the only thing that will really change your life. He is the only thing that will really change your life. And so, briefly this morning, I'm going to just look back through the passage we read here in 1 John. I want to talk about some of the words that are used in this passage, like light and dark and walk and things like that, that are kind of almost poetic or symbolically used here. What is John talking about and what does he mean by those things? And then I want to give you just 3 practical applications today. We're going to talk about walking in the Word of God. We're going to talk about walking in the Spirit. And we're going to talk about walking in community. Each of those things could be their own sermon. So we're just going to scratch the surface today. But those are going to be the practical applications I would like to walk with you through these things this morning. And so let's begin just by looking back at the text and looking at this idea of light and darkness. This is, again, nothing new, nothing earth-shattering. But in verse 5, John says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." What does John mean by light? What is he talking about, that God is light? The metaphor that's used throughout Scripture, light is used as a metaphor, I should say, throughout Scripture to describe glory, the glory of God, to describe truth, to describe holiness and transparency. And by contrast, darkness throughout Scripture is symbolically used to represent fallenness and falsehood, sin and hiding. And so we know that, obviously, that contrast that exists there, light and dark. But I believe that John has more to this message to reveal for us. In the beginning of this letter, at the beginning of this chapter, John is describing something. Before he gets to this part of the text, he says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life." He's describing a person. He's describing something tangible. He's describing someone. And if you look back You don't have to turn there. If you want to turn there to the Gospel of John chapter 1, I'm going to read a couple of passages. This is the same John, the Apostle John, who wrote this letter that also wrote the Gospel of John. And listen to how he begins that Gospel. You know verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he drops down, drop down in verse 4, and he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He's talking about Jesus. And so John, in this passage in 1 John, in our text, is not describing a what when he's talking about light. He's describing a who. And he's talking about the incarnate God, Jesus. In Jesus, there is no darkness. Scripture says in Ephesians 5 that before we knew Christ, for believers, we were all children of darkness, walking in darkness. Jesus came that we might enter into his light. But hear me today, he didn't just come so that we could enter into the light. He came so that we could walk in the light. He came for a relationship with us, and that is going to be a theme that you hear throughout the message this morning. Another word from the text is the word walk that John uses. He says, if we say we have fellowship while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another. Peripateo is the Greek word for walk. And here's what that word means. It means to walk, but it also means to behave and to live. And so the idea here with this word of walking is talking about our lifestyle. It's talking about our behavior. It's not just talking about literally walking, but it's also talking about the way that we live our lives. And this is important to understand. We are either walking in light or walking in darkness. You can notice in the passage here that we've read the contrast there between this passage in verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. And so he says if we are walking in darkness, if our lifestyle is in darkness, then we are not in fellowship with God regardless of what we say. So is he saying that we've got to be sinless then to be in fellowship with God? Well, look down to verse 8 in the same chapter. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And so John's clarifying here. There's a difference between a human being who's been redeemed but still is tethered to this flesh and to this world and is battling sin. We're going to sin. We're going to stumble. We're going to disobey God. But that is the battle that we fight every day. There's a difference between that and the person who says, I'm going to walk in darkness. And we cannot walk in darkness and claim to have fellowship with him. Amen. It's not true. And so that's the idea of the walk. And then the last thing that I want to just clarify with you on these words is the word fellowship. He says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now we hear the word fellowship. This is a Baptist church. The first thing that comes to mind is what? Food, right? And that's not that far off, but we typically think of fellowship as some sort of social event, and that is part of fellowship. But the word fellowship in the Bible, the Greek word is koinonia. You may have heard that word before. Listen to what this word means. It means partnership. It means sharing. It means contribution. And so the idea of koinonia means that there is a partnership where I'm contributing something and then I'm receiving the benefit of that as well. And so this is bigger than just food, but I would say that the old, you know, old school potluck dinners are maybe like a great illustration of the idea of fellowship. You come to the dinner, you bring a little a part of what you have, you contribute that to the whole. People are blessed by what you bring, hopefully, maybe, and then others bring things that you then benefit from. That is the idea of fellowship, but it's in the sharing of life. And so here's what John says. John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we walk with Jesus in the light, then we have fellowship with God. We are in step with God. We are in cooperation with God in our lives. There's nothing that can be more life-changing and important to you in this coming year than your fellowship with God. And I, as we go through this application part here in the next few minutes, as we look at walking in the Word and walking in the Spirit and walking in community, I feel like I don't know if it's human nature or what it is, maybe it's our church culture or whatever, but instantly our mind goes to programs and plugging in, and those things are not bad, you know, Bible studies or some new method or some new strategy or whatever, and those things are all okay, they're all good. But I want you to hear one thing today from me, and that is this. All of human history, all of creation, from the very beginning, points to the fact that God desires a relationship with you and with me. That should just blow our minds. That's enough for us to think on for the next couple of weeks. That the Almighty Creator of this universe wants to walk in fellowship with you and with me. And he went to such great lengths to make that happen that he sent his only begotten Son to this earth to die on a cross. Not so that we could pray a prayer and get our ticket out of hell and move on, but so that we could have a real relationship with him. I'm glad that my wife didn't just say vows at the altar and move on. I love my wife, and I love my relationship with my wife, and I love seeing her every day. And that's how God loves us, but even to a greater degree. God desires a relationship. He desires a fellowship. And so as we walk through these practical ways, what does it mean to walk in the light? What does it mean to walk with Jesus? What does that look like to have that kind of lifestyle? I think we hear those things in church, and it's easy to say, okay, sign me up. I'm ready to walk with Jesus. So what does that look like? And there's more that we could talk about. Again, there's many sermons. We could have many sermons to explain and describe this, but I'm just going to share three things with you that I think are great starting points to your life of walking with Jesus. And many of you may already have these things present and active in your life, and they may be a reality. And for you, if that's the case, my challenge for you is to press into what you already know. You don't need a new idea or a new concept when it comes to your walk with Jesus. You don't need a new calling or a new task. What you need is to walk closely in fellowship with Jesus. And all of those other things take care of themselves. That's why Jesus himself said, seek my kingdom and my righteousness first, and all of those other things will be added to you, right? So think of this in terms, as we walk through these three applications, in terms of relationship, and think of them in these terms as well. Jesus was here on the earth 2,000 years ago. We just celebrated Christmas. He spent 33 and a half years on this planet. He lived a perfect life. He went to the cross. He died for our sin. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Yes. And then about 50 days later, 40 days later, he ascended to the right hand of the Father. But when he was here, he told us he would give us his words. He told us he would pray for the Father to send his Spirit. And then he launched and instituted his body on this earth, the church. And so these things that we're looking at, how do I walk with Jesus, are just the ways that we connect while we're here on this earth with the things that Jesus left to help us connect to him. Okay? And so number one practical application for walking in the light is to walk in the Word. This is walking in the truth of God's Word. We went back and defined those terms just a minute ago so that you would be thinking of those as we look at this. Walking in the Word, a lifestyle of being in the Word of God, regularly being in the Word of God, not just checking boxes, not just being a part of a program. Those things are all structures good if you want to add consistency to your life, but this is about walking with God in the truth of His Word. Jesus is the living Word, and He's given us the written Word as the revelation of Himself. The Bible is the primary way we can know God. He gave us His Word as the revelation of Himself to us, not just to learn about God, but to know God, to know the person of God. The Bible is the primary way that God speaks to us and shines His light into our lives. We have questions every day, all of us. We have to make choices, and we think about big decisions about where am I going to work, or who am I going to marry, or where am I going to live, or what ministry am I going to be involved in, what part do I play in the kingdom? And what I want you to understand is the beginning place is not figuring those things out. The beginning place is drawing near to the one who already knows the answers. It's walking with Jesus, and we walk with Jesus by walking in the truth of His Word. Psalm 119, verse 105. You've heard this verse. You've read this verse. It says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "The unfolding of your words gives light." It imparts understanding to the simple. You want to walk in the light, you want to walk in Jesus, you've got to walk in the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life." I would say it this strongly this morning. You cannot truly walk in fellowship with God apart from His Word. You need to be in the Word of God. You need to be in the Word of God regularly. Bible studies, yes. Worship, yes. Classes, podcasts, online sermons, yes. But you personally need to be in the Word of God. You need to be reading the Word of God. You don't have to be a theologian. You're not going to understand everything you read. You may not understand most of what you read. It's not about trying to gather information. It's about knowing a person. It's about knowing the person of Christ through His Word. Walking in the Word is not just about you getting in the Word, but it's about the Word of God getting into you. Right? That's where this becomes walking. That's where this becomes a lifestyle. Sometimes we treat God, I'm afraid, more like a topic to be studied than a person to be known. If you personally approach God and His Word for the sake of knowing Him more, you will have fellowship with Him, and He will change your life for the better. There was a survey that was done in the last couple of years. You may have seen this before, but it's called the Power of Four. There is an organization called the Center for Bible Engagement. They did this large survey, 100,000 individuals, over the course of about 8 years, about their spiritual lives and their self-reported behaviors spiritually. Here was the key finding of this research. The research identified a tipping point for spiritual growth and behavioral change. Here's the tipping point: engaging with the Bible 4 or more days per week. Yes. It's good to read your Bible 1 day a week. It's good to read your Bible 2 days a week or 3 days a week. But there is a tipping point. 4 days a week. That's just more than half of our time, of our days in a week. Spending that time, just a few minutes in the Word of God, they saw through this research the change that it makes in people's lives. The study reported several significant correlations for those engaging their Bible 4 or more days a week. They were 228% more likely to share their faith with other people. They were 407% more likely to memorize Scripture. They were 59% less likely to view pornography. And they were 30% less likely to struggle with loneliness, depression, or anxiety. We need more of God's word. We need more of God's word in our life. We need more of God's word in our culture. We need more of God's word in the church. Not that you need to learn more new things, but that you need, that you're walking in the light through the word of God. So how is your walk in the word today? How is your walk in the word today? Will 2026 be different? Are you resolved? Listen, we make commitments and resolutions about so many things in this life that don't matter in eternity. And we may never verbalize it as a resolution, but the way that we use our time and our resources, we are resolute in those things. Make walking in God's word a priority in your life in 2026. There are so many tools available to help you with this that exist out there. There's apps and programs and reading plans, and I would encourage you to take advantage of those things. I just would encourage you to create space in your life to spend time with God and His word. At Ridgecrest, we have what we call life groups. These are small groups of 3 to 5 people, men meeting with men, women meeting with women. You can sign up for a life group. You can see which ones are available on the website. You can call me. You can get connected. The point of a life group is that you're going to read your Bible 4 days a week, and that you're going to come together with those people and you're going to share what God is saying to you in His word. And I've lost count of the number of people involved in life groups who have told me this is the first time I've ever read all the way through my Bible. People that have been walking with the Lord for a long, long time. People that have said to me, this is the most consistent I've ever been in my Bible reading, because I know every week I'm going to go meet with some people and talk to them about it. Get connected in a life group if you're not in a life group. And we'll talk about this more. But most change in our life behaviorally doesn't happen unless we invite some other people to be involved in that with us, right? So we'll talk about that more here in just a second. Drop my brains on the floor there. All right, number two, walk in the Spirit. To walk in the light, to have fellowship with the Lord, is to walk in the Spirit. This is walking in His presence. I'm going to pick up the pace here because we need to. But Jesus told His disciples that He and the Father would send the Holy Spirit to indwell His followers. After He physically departed from the earth, we are invited to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer here today, you know this. The Spirit of God indwells you. He already lives inside of you. But isn't it sad that the God who lives inside of us, we can neglect, we can grieve, we can even quench according to the Scriptures? Or we can walk with the Spirit. Paul said in Galatians 5, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Notice Paul didn't say, avoid the flesh, and then you can walk in the Spirit. He said, you want to not gratify the deeds of the flesh? Walk in the Spirit. Draw near to the Lord. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, if our spiritual life began by the Holy Spirit coming into us, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Again, God desires a relationship, a real relationship, beyond just your salvation, beyond just your baptism. God desires a relationship with you. Walking in step with the Holy Spirit, just to touch on part of this, is about surrender and it's about faith. The beginning place of surrender, I believe, to the Holy Spirit for the believer is prayer. Prayer is not just a practice. Prayer is a posture of our heart. When you look at the example of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus bowed. And He said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done. Jesus surrendered to the will of God in prayer and set the example for you and I to surrender to the Holy Spirit in prayer, yielding to the Holy Spirit. It's the old idea that you've heard this before of just putting your yes on the table, saying yes to God before you even know what His question is. That's surrender. That's a posture of our heart that says, Lord, Your will first, not mine. This is what it means to walk in the presence of the Lord and trusting by faith. Prayer is not me letting God know what I want, but ultimately it is me surrendering my heart to what He wants. Prayer is listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit, not necessarily to know what to do or where to go, but again, to know Him. It's drawing in close to Him. When Caleb was just a little guy, he was 5 or 6 years old, he started going deer hunting with me. And so I wanted it to be fun for him, and so I would roll a sleeping bag out in the back of my back seat of my truck, and before, you know, the night before, and then in the morning I'd get him up before the sun was up, and I would just carry him out there, put him in the truck, put him in the sleeping bag. All of his clothes were in the truck. We'd drive out to where we were going to hunt. We'd get out. He'd get all of his gear on. It was pretty cute. He was, you know, Michelin man trying to walk through the woods in his little camo, and he couldn't keep up with me. He couldn't see where he needed to go. I was always carrying everything. And so I would just tell Caleb, listen, here's the flashlight. Here's this little circle of light. Just stay in the light. Stay in the circle. Just walk with me. You don't have to know where we're going. Just don't get out of that light. And you can see where we're headed. Just walk in that light. And the Lord is inviting us. Prayer is another miraculous thing that we take so for granted. That the God of this universe says, I'm on my throne in heaven and I'm inclining my ear to you. I am your Abba, Father. Call out to me, pray to me, talk to me. For the things that you need, yes, but also just to know me. We live out our faith in obedience. Real faith is accompanied by action. As we know in James, faith without works is dead. Saying, singing, praying that we are surrendered to the will of God is not enough. How is your prayer life today? How is the posture of your heart before the Lord today? It comes back to the same thing. The things that are our resources. The most valuable thing we have is time. And the most common excuse that I hear, the most common excuse that I make for not walking in fellowship with the Lord is time. And so where in my life am I creating space intentionally to spend time with the Lord, to pray and talk to Him, to listen to Him, to be in His Word? And then finally, number three, walking in the light is walking in community. It's walking in spiritual community with the people of God. Jesus instituted His church so there would be a physical representation of Him here on earth to carry out His mission. The church is called the body of Christ because it has many members joined together to be the hands and feet and mouthpieces of Jesus on earth, speaking the truth in love. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. What it's saying is that Christ is the head, we are the members of the body. Right. Now, it'd be weird if you saw a person who was just a head and a foot, right? They'd probably run the other way. But your foot is connected to your head through all these other body parts. Part of how we connect to Christ, the head, is in the way that we connect with one another. It's in spiritual community. God has put a spiritual gift in you that He's not put in me. And I'm going to experience that spiritual gift that's in you and benefit from it as I interact with you. And then as I bring the gift that God's put in me and I contribute it, you're going to benefit from that gift. It's called fellowship. It's called sharing life. It's called community. And God created us to need it. Not that it's a good thing. Not that it's a good thing to want. We need it. Our individual fellowship with God and with other believers are dependent upon each other. They're symbiotic. Healthy personal fellowship with God enables me to engage in healthy spiritual community. And then there is a type of fellowship with God that I'm only going to experience in healthy spiritual community. If you don't have healthy spiritual community in your life, you're missing part of what it means to walk in fellowship with God, point blank. Application step. Get involved in spiritual community. Get involved in community. Get connected with people here at Ridgecrest. We have small groups. that are just groups to get together on Sunday morning. Some of them meet during the week. You can find out about those online. You can find out about those on the app. You can find out about those by contacting me or any of our staff. We want you to be in community. You need to be in community, not so that our numbers are up or so that our rooms are full, but so that you can know God in fellowship with Him in that way that only happens through community. At the very heart of life change is our relationship with our Creator. God desires and deserves to be glorified by His creation. God's number one goal is His glory. John Piper said it well when he said, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him, when we are walking in fellowship with Him. For God, it's about His glory through relationship. The Bible begins with God walking with human beings in a garden. The Bible ends with God walking with mankind in a beautiful city that He's building to dwell with His people. In the middle of the story, God came to this earth and He walked with mankind in the brokenness of this world and then willingly walked to Calvary so that you and I could know Him. Maybe today is where your fellowship with God begins. Maybe you need to take a step today to trust in Christ as your Savior. Maybe today it's just you as a believer deciding in 2026, walking closely with Jesus is going to be a priority in my life. It should be the priority in our lives.
Thanks for listening. For additional resources, to learn more about us, or get connected, visit RidgecrestBaptist.org.